Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the DX Mentor, all about 60 meters. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bill, AJB, the DX Mentor. My guests are DX gurus that we can all learn from. I'm sorry that it has been several weeks since we had an episode drop. Work and family, as well as scheduling challenges for me and my guests, always seem to complicate things. However, I am very appreciative that you're still with us, and I want to let you know that we have several excellent episodes coming up, including this one tonight. I received a very positive email from Mark, KB9DIL. Mark sent along some excellent thoughts on our 160-meter helically wound vertical video that we have out there on how to build it and how to use it. So Mark, thanks for that feedback. I entertain any kind of feedback, whether it's praise or criticism or just further input, and you'll hear at the end of the podcast how you can get a hold of me. In this episode, we will attend a detailed discussion on 60 meters. My guests are Joe, W-A-G-E-X, otherwise known as the Godfather of 60 Meters, Mike, W-0-V-T-T, and Don, K-8-M-F-O. Now let's tune into our gurus and find out what they're discussing. Well, good evening and welcome to this episode of the DX Mentor. I'm Bill, A-J-A-B, and tonight I'm excited to bring you the topic of 60 Meters. I personally have never been on 60 meters, but I know several people that are passionate about it, and I've got them with us tonight. So we're looking forward to finding out about 60 meters, why 60 meters, what kind of equipment, antennas, and if I were to get something up, what could I expect to be on 60 meters? So I'm excited, and we've got the right people here tonight again, and we're going to get started. So tonight our co-host is Minnesota Mike, W0VTT. So Mike, would you introduce yourself, please?
Well, good evening to everyone. I'm very happy to be here tonight. Thank you for inviting me. I've been a ham for 48 years. I am not a 60-meter guru, but two of my DX heroes are on the podcast tonight, Don and Joe. So I'm looking forward to peppering them with questions, and I hope we can all learn a lot about 60 meters tonight.
Okay, and thank you for taking time to be with us. I gave you a full 2 days to check your schedule, so I kind of expected you'd be here, but
I'm ready.
You're ready to go. Joe, W-A-G-E-X, go ahead.
Well, thanks, guys, for putting this on for us tonight. A little background on me. I passed my technician back in 1970 with 13 other people, along with my uncle, who got me started at the age of 14. And all of our calls were all in sequence, in alphabetical order. So it was sort of nice. Some of us were friends forever, and other ones we just met during the testing session. Later, I passed my general, my advanced, my extra class. And here in the last many, many years, I've been an ICOM equipment guy. Everything I own is ICOM. I have two towers plus verticals on 30, 40, 80, and I have 35 radios under all those. I have an inverted V on 40, 80, and an inverted L on 160. So next time I'll tell you more about my antenna farm.
So while we're talking about that, what do you have on 60?
60 meters, I have a vertical, okay. A 43-foot vertical.
Okay.
Glad you mentioned that. Thank you.
And we had Don, Cade MFO, from northeastern Ohio, I guess.
Yes, I am. I live in Apple Creek, which is in the center of the largest concentration of Amish people in the world. All of my neighbors are Amish. It's a pretty good place to be a ham, at least it used to be, until everybody got solar panels, and then they've got inverters, which create all sorts of hash. It's like being in a major city. I've been licensed since 1958. I've been licensed now for 65 years. I'm originally from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm a youper. What is a youper? It's actually in a dictionary, Y-O-O-P-E-R. It's somebody from the Upper Peninsula who's of Finnish descent, and I am of Finnish descent. I've chased DX ever since I got my license, and I'm still doing it. I've got I've got a couple of antennas that I use on 60. One is a sloping dipole, which is very effective in most directions, but it's got a soft spot too, and that's into the southeast and the south. And I use my 160 meter inverted V for those directions. The network's great. We're going to talk about antennas, I'm sure. Using a 160 antenna on 60 is the same as using a 40 meter antenna on 15, which a lot of people did in their novice days and when they first got on the air. But I look forward to talking about 60. I'm a relative newcomer. Joe is a pioneer on 60. Got there on the first day, and I didn't come until 9 years later when CW was authorized.
You know, we call him Marconi around the club when we're talking about 60.
Yeah, I thought probably you did.
Yes, that's what we do. So why do I want to get on 60? I've got all these other bands. Is there something unique or appealing about it, or what makes it different?
I personally think it's a refuge for people who have most of the stuff on the other bands. It's a challenge. Got to start with, even though there's no 60 meter DXCC, you got to start with your first contact. And then you get a second one in a third country, and you say, well, let's go and see. Now, Joe, we don't have 400 countries yet on 60, do we?
No, I think there's...
Getting pretty close, are you?
Yes. There's 265, I think, now.
Yeah, who's the EA8AK, or who's that?
I'm sorry?
EA8EK, does he have the top number right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, you know, not everybody has privileges. For example, Japan is not on 60 meters. Australia is not on 60 meters. And you know, when you have Australia, you're eliminating like four or five other DXCC countries like Macquarie and Lord Howe and Mellish Reef. So there's most countries in Europe have come on. But the Russians are not officially on, are they, Joe? Except in Crimea.
Yes.
But I think it's a place where people who are looking for another challenge go. And of course, a lot of new hams go there. It's a pretty friendly place, I think. There's not any frequency squabbles or anything. I think people kind of respect each other.
Okay. Mike?
Okay. Well, You mentioned there is no DXCC. I know the ARRL does not offer any awards for 60-meter operations. Are there any other groups who do offer a DXCC or worked all states or any type of awards for working stuff on 60?
Joe would be the guy to address that.
Yeah. So, Mike, because the ARRL does not recognize it, we came up several years ago saying K5YY and Dan K3ZXL in Florida and myself, we came up with an award. So we have requirements and we have our own WAS and DXCC award. And we have issued quite a few of those awards. And we have a very, very nice certificate that Dan sends out. We all sign it, and then he sends it out. So to answer your question, we do have one, but it's just sort of a local group that we acknowledge your workmanship on 60 meters.
Okay. Do you know if any of the other national societies offer awards for 60-meter operation or include 60 meters for their other awards?
Not that I know of, but that could be possible, but I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think one thing about, you know, ARRL doesn't offer a DXCC, but if you work something on 60 meters, it doesn't count toward any of the awards.
That's correct. Yes.
And I think that's kind of saying, well, you worked this station, but you really didn't.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really, you know, hit with me. I think that should maybe be looked at a little bit. I can understand why you wouldn't want to have it as part of the Challenger or the DXCC, but if it's your only contact with a DXpedition, it's not fair to say, well, you worked it, but you really didn't work it.
Right.
Well, that's an interesting point, and perhaps that's something that will come up in front of the DXAC someday.
Would be a good one.
If you know, to follow someone. Up with Don's question or his answer to it about the challenge, I always thought that 6 meters, 60 meters, and 160 are all tough bands. And years ago, now 60 meters today is much, much easier than it was years ago. But it was tough to make contacts. And that's the reason that I say that it was such a challenge. But it is certainly much easier now, like it is on all the other bands with FT8.
You know, why to go there is, you know, another thing. It's a tremendous place in the spectrum. 5 megahertz is, you know, between 80 and 40 meters, but it's got its own characteristics. It's remarkable what you can do with the 100 watts of ERP that were authorized. I mean, working stuff like, you know, Joe's work zone 23 on 60. But he and I have both worked Vietnam and Hong Kong. Hong Kong being on CW and Vietnam being on digital. But it's a very surprising band what people can do. And simple antennas like use your 80 meter antenna, use anything, use a piece of wire. You're still going to get out, particularly if you're on the digital modes.
Yes.
Interesting. You know, years ago when 30 meters came on, Chad Harris, who used to be the editor of the DX magazine, he offered a 30 meter DXCC award before the ARL. Sorry, and I was fortunate enough to get number 79. Right. And I found myself that last 10, I was down here every night and really digging because it was new and I really cherished that. And then it was a while later, of course, the ARL went ahead and you know, accepted credit. Joe, do you remember Jose when he talked to us about the DX Challenge? Did he say that 60 meter QSOs count for WAZ and the DX Challenge? Or am I wrong on that?
I don't recall that, Bill. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. They do not count for the DXCC Challenge.
Okay. Absolutely not, no. And I think that there's some justification for that because the countries that don't have 60 meters would be put at a tremendous disadvantage, like, you know, Japan and some of the other Asian countries.
Sure. So I want to get on 60, and I have a radio that supports 60. Talk to me about channels for a minute. It's the only channelized band that we have, right? So what does that really mean, and how does it make it different?
No, Joe, I think you're very well, you know, acquainted with that.
Well, be sure and just jump in. Originally, we had 5 channels, and it was strictly sideband and 50 watts. So then later on, they gave us CW privileges, and we ended up with 10 channels. There's 5 for sideband phone, and then 5 for CW. And that's the way that we're configured now. So on CW, we have to stay on right on our exact frequency. So if we're working Europe, and if Europe is transmitting on their part of the band, then obviously we have to split like we normally would do on CW anyway. So we have 10 channels. And what can you add to that, Don?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good point about, and that makes some, that makes for some difficulty. For example, you know, the 4W8 operation is on right now. They've made exactly 8 QSOs on 60 meters, saying because of noise that they have. But I listened the morning that they were on CW. They were way up around 53, I think. And they were listening on 5405. We have to be exactly on 5405 So it's every signal is zero beat with each other, which makes it a little difficult, you know, too. But we used to work split before with the Europeans, and you could do it. It's, you know, there hasn't been that much activity, except when things like Navassa came on. When Navassa came on, you would have thought that you were on, you know, on 20 meters in a DX contest.
Wow. So, go ahead.
Everybody found a way to get on.
Yeah. So does every country have those same channels? Are we all on the exact same channels, or are there differences?
That's changed quite a bit. And I think that's an issue that's being discussed in this country right now.
Yes, it is.
The FCC has made a proposal to go along with whatever was decided at an international meeting somewhere, of giving us what, 15 kcs, is it?
Yes.
And to lower the power to what, 15 watts?
Yes. 10 watts?
Yeah, mm-hmm. To 15 watts. We have 100 right now. And so as to go along with these other countries, that's what they're proposing. But we're in a comment period on that, and certainly AWRL would like to have the 100 watts, retain our present channels, and also have 100 watts on this 15 KC spectrum that we would get. And one good argument for that is Canada. Canada went along with 100 watts. And 15 watts, there's a good difference. You know, for 60 is in a really good position between 80 and 40. And there's times during the day, that's the only way you can make contacts, you know, like 300 miles away. And why make it more difficult than it is right now? So I've put my comments in, and everybody's welcome to do that. I think there's still I don't know, Joe, do you know what the deadline is on that?
I think it's up, but I'm not 100% sure, Don.
Okay.
I'll check while Mike asks the next question. I'm going to go ahead and check.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the power. You mentioned we're limited to 100 watts ERP.
ESP.
So now, of course, every antenna has a certain amount of gain over an isotropic radiator. Do you have to calculate that? How careful do you need to be about making sure?
You're supposed to calculate it. For example, if you've got a four square, and there are four squares on 60 meters, I think I heard one time that you should be running 4 watts to be within the 100 watt ERP. We who use dipoles and such, I think we're pretty safe to run our 100 watts. Or pretty close to it. I know Joe and I, when I first got on, I ran 50 watts because you said that's what I should run. And some of it was to wondering whether the K3 would melt if it, but the K3 is actually rated, you know, on digital for 100 watts.
Okay.
I know of one fellow, Mike, that has a 60 meter beam.
Okay.
Has a 60 meter beam. So obviously, that's a pretty good size antenna.
Yeah, NO8D, I think, has one up in Cleveland.
Yeah, okay. Yes, that's who it is.
So, do you know, or can you tell? Do people honor that 100 watt limit for the most part?
I think they do. I really do. I don't know that all amplifiers would run, you know, on 60 meters. I heard a guy one time saying it was running 500 watts, and he just didn't know any better, and somebody told him about it, and he says, well, I won't do that anymore. Yeah. But I don't know of anybody who's pushing the power limit on 60. No. Joe, do you?
No. And you know, that's a good point, Mike, because I've never heard of any interference problem on 60 meters.
Right.
And the ARL, when they petition the FCC, they always bring that up, that there's never been a problem with interference. So saying that, I think all the boys and girls are pretty good about the power rating.
Okay.
We're secondary users, right? Is that the issue? And so we have to, respect whatever the NTIA or whoever has privileges there. And there's never been an issue brought because of hands running too much power or even being on the band. There never seems to have been an issue.
Yeah.
Let's pause for a minute to hear from ICOM. Are you searching for the perfect holiday gift? This holiday season, make your gatherings merrier, your messages clearer, and your connection stronger with ICOM. Whether inside the ham shack or on the air in the great outdoors, we have what's at the top of your favorite ham's wish list. From high-powered base stations and mobiles to compact, travel-friendly handhelds and portables, our radios offer features and functions such as spectrum scope and waterfall displays, D-Star, sideband, CW, RIDI, AM/FM modes, and more. ICOM has the radio that every ham wishes to see under the tree. For the D-Star fam on your holiday shopping list, ICOM's ID5100AD, ID50A, and ID52A are the perfect traveling companions. The 5100AD is innovation and mobility taken to the next level. Designed from user input, the ID5100AD offers an intuitive user interface experience with an industry-leading touchscreen display. This radio is one of the most advanced dual-band mobiles on the market today. It has intuitive touchscreen operation, integrated GPS receiver, DVDV dual watch, DVFM repeaterless function, and you can get an optional VS3 Bluetooth headset. The ID52A is a VHF-UHF dual-bander with D-Star and FM dual-mode functions, and it's the first handheld amateur radio with a full-color 2.3-inch waterfall display. This radio supports conventional FM communications and D-Star simplex, repeater, regional, and worldwide calls over the D-Star Internet Gateway. Other features include wideband receiver with a guaranteed range of 144 to 148 and 440 to 450 megahertz, VV, UU, and VU with dual DV mode, integrated GPS and GLONASS receiver, including grid square location, micro USB for data transfer, programming, and charging. The ID52A is a perfect companion to the IC705. Both use compatible batteries and headsets, and you can also use the same Android app for D-Star operation. And finally, the ID50A gives hours of fun and enjoyment working your favorite bands. Beginners will love the following: easy D-Star settings, band scope with waterfall display, voice messaging, share picture function, and it uses the same optional accessories as the ID52A, the ID51A, and the ID31A. For the outdoor ham who loves POTA and SOTA activations, the IC905 and 7300 are the top choice. Explore the world of microwave with ICOM's new SHF portable, the IC905. This all-mode rig covers 2 meters, 70 centimeters, 1.2 gig, 2.4 gig, and 5.6 gigs, and you can also add 10 gigs with the CX10G transverter. This rig features a large 4.3-inch touchscreen color display, real-time high-speed spectrum scope and waterfall display, easy digital mode settings, high-performance GPS antenna which is supplied, full D-Star functions in DVDD mode. Aim higher and enter the world of SHF with the IC905. The IC7300 is a high-performance, innovated HF transceiver with a compact design that will far exceed expectations. This innovative HF transceiver digitizes RF before various receiver stages, reducing the generated inherent noise in different IF stages. This is the radio that changed the way entry-level HF is designed. It has a large 4.3-inch touchscreen color display, real-time spectrum scope, and 15 discrete bandpass filters. And finally, for the mobile and outdoor enthusiast, the IC7100 is ready for the road. For the mobile and outdoor aficionado, the IC7100 is road ready. Communicate with the touch of a finger. This compact base station is an ideal D-Star option to keep you connected anywhere. It features angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, one-touch selection, and it supports HF 6 meters, 2 meters, 430 and 440 megahertz, multi-band all mode. Either at home or wherever you roam, happy holidays from ICOM. for the love of ham radio. And if you check the show notes, you'll see a link to every one of these fine products.
When we went to Pitcairn with VP6R, this is 4 years ago, initially they did not want to allow 60-meter operation. And the guy in the licensing office said, well, I can't do it because it's never been done before. And we tried to point out to him that the last time somebody went there, we didn't have that allocation. Ralph K0IR was spearheading all this. And he finally found a ham who either worked for the PTT or knew somebody who did, and went and talked to them and said, look, it's okay, you can do this. But they were very, very nervous. So they says, okay, you guys can do this, 100 watts only, and you have to have a satellite phone at the operating position whenever you're on, so we can call you if you cause any problems. They never called us. And I don't know how many QSOs we made on 60, but it was a whole lot.
Oh, you made a lot of contacts.
Ralph was in touch with me, and we were back and forth.
Right.
I remember that very clearly now since you brought that up, Mike. Yeah, that guy, we had a little issue, but thank God it all worked out, and the de-expedition got permission to operate.
Yes, and we did.
But they made a lot of cues, like Don was saying. I'm going to say they made 500 or 600 cues, which is a lot on 60 meters.
I can find out.
Actually. Well, it was a good number.
I have the log.
It was a monster when you guys were running it.
And it seemed like Desicheo or Navassa, Don, made a lot because WB9Z was one of the main operators.
Yes.
And I thought Jerry told me that they made 600 maybe from either Navassa or Desicheo that time.
Wow. Okay. Well, the period of comment was ended yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then the period for replies ends December 30th. So, and we tried through our club, you know, the email chains and newsletters to kind of get people to reply and comment. I think quite a few did. The same thing with Twin Cities. I mean, they sent out several things urging members to go out and go up and submit comments. So, Mike, what'd you find?
I'm still looking. It's on another machine here that just woke up.
So we talked a little bit about different antennas and stuff, and you mentioned a sloper, Don. What is just a good generic antenna? Would it be the sloper? If someone called you up, hey, I'd like to get on 60 meters.
It was convenient for me. You know, I think any wire, any half wave antenna, and what we're talking about, what, Joe, about a 100-foot half wave? Is that what it is? Pretty much, pretty close.
Yeah.
That's pretty manageable on most people's property. And that's what I would do. I would start out with just a regular old dipole.
Yeah.
The sloper was nice for me because I had a pulley up at an 80-foot level on my tower, and I've got it sloping into the northwest, and it's a killer into the northwest and most other directions.
Is that the one I put up a couple years ago?
No. I did this one all by myself. You might have put a new pulley up there for me. I think you did.
Okay, 888 QSOs on 60 meters.
Wow.
And that was just kind of one night or two nights, I think, Mike, right?
Let's see. The first one was 23 October. The last one was 1 November. So it was a week.
Oh, good.
It was a week.
Yeah. You know what really helps us, Mike, is a guy like Glenn Johnson, W0GJ. And he's been on a lot of major de-expeditions. He's very, very active on 60 meters. So when a guy like him goes out on the de-expedition, if he's not the leader, he will encourage the leader, hey, let me run some 60 meters. And whenever they do that, those de-expeditions have huge pileups.
Wow.
888 QSOs.
888.
W8GEX was QSO number 9.
Whoa.
What took you so long?
Yeah, that's great. You know, I think we're talking about Joe being, you know, a pioneer, and he's really well known. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that Joe regularly publishes a 60-meter newsletter, you know, online, and anybody can subscribe, right, Joe? And you kind of let everybody know what's coming up in terms of de-expeditions,
yes.
And that's very handy, I think.
So I started that years ago because, like I tell on every podcast that Bill and I do, that I'm like you, Don. I've been a de-exer since the get-go, since I got my license. So back in 2003, when we got allocation, June in 2003 from the FCC, I had a D expedition going to Maserat. And one of our team members asked me if he could play some 60 meters. Well, at that point in time, I had never heard of it. So I said, well, sure, anything, you know, we're just out here to make cues. So he's set up in the basement of this house that we rented and was on 60 meters. And I'll never forget my first 60 meter contact. He runs upstairs and says, Joe, come down. You know, I got 60 meters running if you want to make a contact. So I did. I go downstairs and my first contact was N0FW. And I'm on Maserat, and this N0FW guy was in Ohio. So that was my first contact. So talking about the newsletter, coming back home, I was so energized about this. I'm thinking, boy, I need to pass the word and get more people de-expeditions on the air.
Oh, you froze up, Joe.
This would be great. So then I started this newsletter, and Janet and I, my darling wife, I'll put it together, and she'll edit it and be sure that it's punctuated right. And we sent it out to about 1,800 subscribers. It's all free. You just get on our website, 60 meter website, and just sign up, and that's all you got to do. So we send it out at least once a month, sometimes twice if there's something earth shattering going on. But it's a good way to let all the guys and girls on 60 meter know that who's on the air, the D expeditions. And just exactly what's going on. So that's been a lot of fun and a lot of work for Janet and I, but we enjoy doing it.
Yeah, and I'll add that to the show notes. So if somebody wants to know how to subscribe, they can do it. And I should thank you too, because I pretty much plagiarize it and put it in the Ohio Section Journal. I do give you credit for it, of course, but I put it in there because, well, we're just trying to promote radio, you know?
Yes.
And it always seems to be here. There's something new coming on, or it's interesting for people that haven't been around the birth of a band. It's, you know, I think people think, oh, here's this frequency, we can work it. But if you got nobody to talk to, it's kind of useless. So it's interesting how, you know, countries will start picking up and you start building that. And that's what I find interesting. Mike, what else you got?
Of all the D expeditions that are out, that have been out in the last month, all of them have been on 60 meters that have got permission to be on 60. Like Don said, Australia and there's some countries, Japan and whatever, are don't have permission as yet.
Yeah, you know, in addition to Joe doing that newsletter, I think it's worth mentioning, Joe is constantly writing emails to de-expeditions encouraging the use of 60 meters, and I'm sure phone calls and all too. And it all helps, Joe. It really does.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it's another little part of my volunteer job, I guess, that try to hustle these D expeditions. And just about everyone that I have ever asked, even years ago when they didn't have permission, let's say on in Jamaica, for example, they would ask permission, and I made a letter up that I was sent to the D expedition, and I said, pass this on to your licensing authority and see if they'll go along with it. And I don't know of any of them that ever refused this. They all would say yes. And back then, it was always up to the local licensing authority if he or she wanted you on 60.
Let's take a break to learn about the Daily DX.
Hey, I just poured you a cup of coffee. You look pretty happy. How'd you do?
I worked him on the third call. Can you believe it?
You worked him on the third call? Seriously? I thought you just had that little pistol station.
I do, but I have a secret weapon.
A secret weapon? What is it?
Information. I knew when they were on the air, their operating habits. Heck, I even knew the equipment they're using. I just had to be there when they came up on the band. I even beat the spotting network.
Wow, how'd you manage all that?
I get the Daily DX from Bernie, W3UR. In addition to the weekly and daily bulletins, I also receive special notices when things change in real time. I feel that I'm always on top of every DX expedition.
So now you just need to confirm it, right?
Yep, that's it. Bernie even helps me with that, giving me QSL routes and QSL managers if they don't use LOTW. The Daily DX is a DX bulletin sent via email to you Monday through Friday. It includes DX news, IOTA news, QSN reports, QSL information, a DX calendar, propagation forecast, and much, much more. With a subscription to the Daily DX, you will also receive DX news flashes and other interesting DX tidbits. Bernie's been an integral part of my confirming over 300 entities and WAZ while operating a modest station.
W3UR Bernie is the editor, a member of the DX Honor Roll, a member of the 3000 Challenge Club, as well as the editor of the How's DX column in QST. He is uniquely positioned to have his finger on the pulse of the DX community and shares this information weekly. Why not let Bernie be your secret weapon?
You can get a free 2-week trial at www.dailydx.com.
Now let's go have that cup of coffee and tune around.
Okay, we have channels, the five channels here in the States. Do the channels have different uses? You know, like on the normal bands, you'll find the DX activity here around like 20 meters, 14.195, and you know these kind of things take part in this part of the band. So are the 60 meter channels? Is there one that's for DXers? Is there one that's for CW? Or are they segregated by mode at all? Can you work any mode on any channel? How does that actually work out in day-to-day use?
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, actually, that's not it. It's CW has their channels, and sideband has their channels, and the two shall not meet. For example, 5403.5 is a sideband frequency only. 5405, okay, which is only 1.5 kilohertz away, is a CW channel, and okay, it goes up that way, except I think right in the middle, you know, 5357 is used. It's used by digital, but I hear sideband right shores there all the time. Joe, do you?
Okay, yes. Wait a minute. I'm doing the math here. So is the sideband is all upper sideband?
Upper sideband.
Okay.
Really?
So yes. If I have my sideband radio and I set it to 5403.5 and I'm transmitting upper sideband,
yes,
5405 is right in the middle of my audio passband. If that's where you put your seat up, no, there's no could be about it. Do the math.
Yeah, that's right.
So
5, you know, it's, so you're going to interfere with each other.
So
a little bit.
They really are the same channel. It's just that you have your CW note in the middle of the audio passband.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, that's the FCC. That's the way they, you know, they assign it.
So we really only have those five channels then.
Right. But your dial frequency, you have to be concerned about your dial frequency. And whatever happens after that is, you know.
So then back to my original question, is there one channel that where the DXers tend to congregate? Is there, you know, or two, or is there one or two that are more for rag chewing, or is it just kind of a free for all?
Well, I think virtually all of the DXing right now is done on FT8 on 5357.
Okay.
There's still a little bit of CW. And probably a little, when's the last time, Joe, you worked a sideband DX station? It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a long time.
CW every once in a while. I don't know. I can't remember. Somebody was on CW recently. Oh, you know who was on CW? It was the 70. Okay. 7073T.
Yes.
The Russian guy, Dima. Dima was on CW on 60 meters.
So, Mike, years ago, that 5403.5, that's where we were, the majority of us were at, the DXers. We were talking to Europe every day and whatever. And then the right tours on 60 would take those other frequencies.
Okay.
And then digital has always been on that 5357.
Okay.
You know, back then it was ready. And then when FT8 came up, then, you know, FT8 just took over. And then the CW, like Don was saying, was on 5405.
Okay.
So this has got to be a great fit for FT8 with the narrow bandwidth and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's the way it is on all the conventional bands. Everybody's parked in that one place, and you have your 3,000 hertz or whatever, but the signals only take up about 20, if that.
Right. But, I think one thing that, you know, Joe and I have done, there's been a lot of alerting between Joe and me. When something comes on, you know, Joe, you need this, and you need that, and I need that. But we also have a secret weapon. And Joe, I don't know if I should disclose what our secret weapon is. What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead and tell.
Well, if you just give me a second here, I have to go and get the secret weapon.
Did you have a special wolf hong for 60 meters?
Should I hit the button? Oh.
Okay.
There he is. This is Coco. He's 17 and a half years old. And Joe knows this. We both believe this because it's true. Many is the time when he wants to go out, and he wants to go around midnight or 11 o'clock or maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. So he wakes me up, and I have to go through the ham shack, and I'll leave him outside. And more often than you believe, there's a country on it Joe and I need.
Yeah.
So I'm ringing him up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and we give Coco the credit for the alert, because that's what he really is. He's a good old DX guy. Well, I didn't know if we should share that or not.
Well, your secret's out. You know, Joe has that JT alert set with a trumpet, right, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe
you need to make it a barking dog.
I have JT alert, and it is a trumpet sound. And so
I heard that thing. That thing is loud.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, I turn it up. So here's my little secret, and I get a lot of funny comments about this. And we all laugh about it, but it really, really, really works. And that is this thing right here. It is a baby alarm.
Okay.
So I set this baby alarm up here in the shack. And, you know, it's plugged into the wallward. And then in my bedroom, I've got the other end of it, the monitor end. So anything that goes on in the shack, I can hear. And I shut everything off except my JT alert. So, and I can do this obviously on any FT8 band. And when that goes off, I get out of bed. And for an old man, I can run pretty fast at night in the dark.
Joe, can I ask you a question concerning that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've heard this. This is just a rumor, and I just want to know whether it's true or not. Is it true that you can decode FT8 without the radio or any kind of a device? You can just
that is true. That is true.
It is true. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So I really like that baby alarm. So you guys might take note of that if you're really looking for something and really needed it. Get one from your daughter or son who might still have one, but that works.
Okay. Mike, do you get a sense we're losing control quickly or
I'm just thinking, trying to imagine what Susan would have to say about that. I'm pretty sure that one would get vetoed pretty quickly.
For sure, huh?
And you being a top flight musician, you'd have to have a trumpet or
Well, no, it'd have to be a trombone. Okay. And then, of course, I'd have to learn how to send the FT8 signals on the trombone, which theoretically one could do.
Yes.
There are people who say they can decode regular RTTY.
I have heard people say that, and they can recognize, not they can't really decode it, but they can recognize certain patterns, like the call sign of the RCQ.
Yeah.
So, on some of our podcasts, and one that we had last night with the three of us, we was talking about wire antennas. And I've, on 60 meters for years, I had an inverted V up 60 feet. And I worked a lot of DX with that inverted V. So then I got a 47-foot vertical that I put up. 43-foot, I'm sorry. And so I put the vertical up. I got about 40 radios on the ground, and that really, really works. And so many times on our podcast, we've always talked about the most important part of your station is the antenna. You need a good antenna, and I really believe that. And then going along with it, I've got the beverages. I've got three up right now, one west, one at 30 degrees, and one at 90 degrees. So I use those beverages as well, if need be, on 60 meters.
And now let's hear a word from one of our newest sponsors.
Hey, Bob, I heard a rumor that you're now a licensed ham. Is that true?
That is true. I'm very excited. I passed the test 2 weeks ago and just received the call sign of Kilo Echo 8 Yankee Sierra Romeo.
That's great. KE8YSR. Congratulations.
I appreciate that. I hadn't studied really for anything in many years. So I tell you, it was a little bit of effort, connecting all the dots, but it was fun. And I was happy and relieved to pass.
Great. Well, what was the hardest part?
Well, there were really two parts. The first part was really just learning all the terms and slang.
I can see that. That's anything you get into, there's a whole lexicon that you have to learn. What was the second difficult part?
Well, now that I have the license, it's the equipment selection. What antennas, what rigs, what frequencies for that matter, what accessories. I want to do it right, but I don't want to have to mortgage the house to do it. On top of that, I'm in an HOA, so that's a special consideration and might affect what kind of equipment. But I'm interested in hearing what your advice is.
Well, when it comes to all of this together, I just have two words, just two. It'll solve all your problems, get all your questions answered independently with technical support to back it up.
Okay, give it to me. What are the two words?
Well, the first one is DX Engineering.
DX Engineering.
DX Engineering is an American company who's committed to serving the ham radio community. At DX Engineering, amateur radio is what they know. From the pleasure of rag chewing to the satisfaction of working a new rare one, they understand your every need for top performing and reliable products. It's impossible to overstate the importance of filling those needs. Even if you're starting your amateur radio journey with a concentration on VHF and UHF, exploring the more local, regional market, etc., DX Engineering has the products you will need and the expert advice to help you with your selection. Honestly, their goal is simple. Fulfill your needs with the best products and technical support.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm just not sure what facet of ham radio I really want to dive into.
Well, I would say that whether you're answering a distance CQ or you're handling emergency traffic or you're working a parade as a fundraiser, having the proper DX Engineering equipment in your station or on yourself gives you the advantage of being able to hear and be heard as well as possible. The DX Engineering slogan is, the name says it all.
Okay, well, that's one word or phrase, and that sounds like a good one. But what's the second word that you mentioned?
Well, the second one is ICOM. They make the finest radios and accessories for the amateur radio operator. They're great supporters of the ham radio community, and they're sold and supported by DX Engineering.
We're kind of back to that one word or phrase again.
Yeah, it's one word. You're right. DX Engineering. It's the one-stop shop for everything you need.
So you have a beverage also, don't you, Don?
Yes, I do. I've got a DX Engineering four direction beverage system, and it helps. Beverage helps anywhere if you've got noise. It really does.
Yes.
But you really don't need to go big time to start. I mean, I called Joe in 2015, I think it was, and I was razzing him about him being on digital. He says, why don't you try it? At least listen to it. So I install a program, and I listen, and there's a station calling CQ from Antarctica. Well, I couldn't resist. What do I use for an antenna? So I just hit the 80-meter antenna on the antenna switch, and he came back to me.
Yeah.
And I thought that digital wasn't so bad anymore. And I've been there ever since, but I'll still be on CW. That's my game, and it always will be.
It's an amazing little band, and I always thought 60 meters was like drinking beer. You have to have a taste for it. You know, some people like me and Don, we absolutely love a good beer. And then there's other people that turn their noses up to it. But 60 meters, you really need to have that taste for it.
Yeah, so I think so. It's a challenge. I don't know. I think it's very civilized. I like going there.
How long? So 60's been around for how long now?
2003 SSB, and then when was it? When did it go to CW?
2003 is when we started, and
2012. I worked W9VNE 1 minute after the bell went on for CW.
Did you really?
So it's been around basically two solar cycles, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
How is it affected by the solar cycle? Is it kind of somewhere
between? I think it's pretty doggone consistent. It's seasonal. You know, you're going to do very well at the March and September, you know, equinoxes, and winter time is going to be, you're going to have different things that are happening in the summer. You're somewhat affected by noise, you know, summertime noise, but it's not that bad, I don't think. It's not like 80 or 160. It's still pretty quiet.
Huh.
Correct.
Interesting. So what advice would you guys have if I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, boy, I could get something up for 60. I mean, overall, I'm not talking about just an antenna
We don't like QRM, so I'd say maybe we may get a 5-watt rig and maybe put an 8-foot piece of wire, you know, inside your house. actually.
All right.
Actually, just use what you've got. If you got an 80-meter or a 160-meter antenna, use it. If you've got if you've got something you can use a ladder line on, great. You should going to 100 feet is ideal, 100 feet or more. But I think a low wire, you could have all sorts of fun and work all sorts of DX.
Oh, gee, yeah.
And I know Mike likes ladder line, so.
Yes, he does. And my 80-meter antenna tunes up very well on 60.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Really?
I have to try I've got a 160-meter helically wound vertical, and I wonder
how that works. It'll work fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wavelength and a half, same as 40-meter antenna on 15 meters.
Well, you can bet I'm going to give it a try, that's for sure.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. Anything we forgot? Any of the three of you, something that we should have had on our list another selling point I didn't think of? Joe?
I think anybody that, excuse me, that has an interest in 60 meters, all the new radios for the last 5-8 years all have 60 meters in them. And you have to be on frequency or the radios won't transmit. So they, they're very sensitive, or at least my 7610. But if you have a good radio, and then all you need, like Don was just saying, is an antenna, put up a dipole. They're simple. Get it up as high as you can get it. If you can't get it 80 feet in the air, then put it 30 feet. And you'll just have a lot of fun. So you don't really need a lot of big, expensive antennas and towers for 60 meters, I don't think.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah. An antenna you have up in the air is better than one you don't. So, you know, when you're starting out, you use whatever you have available.
Exactly.
I had one more question about modes. Is it we're allowed sideband CW, and is it any digital mode we're allowed, or what is actually used? You mentioned that most of the DXing now is on digi modes, but what modes do people use on 60, and what are they used for? How did they use them? I mean,
I'm only aware of JT65 having been used to start with, and now FT8. I don't know, Joe, if any FT4 is ever used, or any other of those QO10s or whatever they are. But no, I think it started with JT65, and it evolved to FT8 because it's faster. Okay. And FT4 might work very well. But, you know, it's a kind of a relaxed band. And what the heck? What's 13 seconds, you know? I mean.
Yeah.
It's just like all the other bands, Mike. It just seems okay. Like all the guys and girls are on FT8.
Okay.
And, yeah, right now, if you would tune on there, you probably would be decoding every time 15, 20 stations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there still any sideband or CW activity?
A little.
Oh, just a little, okay.
A little, yes.
Like the other bands.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah. Very true.
Okay.
Contest over the weekend, you never would have known that there was any shortage of CW.
Let me tell you a good little story about that real quick. I'm in the Bahamas. C6ADX is my call down there, and I'm just running, and I lost my laptop. So I'm dead as far as FT8 is concerned. So I'm running a 7300. So I had my headset. So I plugged it in and I went to different bands, and I had 5 days to go before our return flight. And in those 5 days, I made 15 contacts. That's all I made.
Wow.
And on FT8, I was just knocking them off just one right after another. So it just shows you how, or it showed me how much that FT8 has really, really taken off. There will always be somebody on sideband and always be somebody on CW, but unfortunately, not like it used to be.
That's right.
And so we just, all of us old timers just need to realize that that's just a fact of life today.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I think the digital modes have brought a lot of people back into ham radio. People in HOAs and apartments now can get on and make QSOs. I work people on FT8 that I haven't worked since 1991 on CW and never heard them, you know, in for many years. And now they're back in again. So I think it's a transition period, certainly for ham radio.
Yes. The other thing I'm surprised that I'm the N letter sorter for the 8th Area Bureau. And oh, I think you're a sorter, right? Right?
I'm a G letter. I'm the G letter guy.
Yeah. And are you shocked at how many FT8 cards come through the
Absolutely.
Bureau?
Absolutely. You look at them. That's what it is.
Yes.
And again, you're seeing new calls all the time, and you know, that are getting cards. And some of those people have been licensed for quite a while, and you realize they haven't gotten Bureau cards before. Why is it now? It's because they can make QSOs on FT8.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing you always look at, and if you look the last 5 or 8 years, the rigs that have come out, the 7300, the Yaesus, and that, they aren't going to make equipment for an inactive ham population. So, you know, the other thing, when you see these people on the air doing these things, I think it's terrific. So I know not everyone agrees, but we had a chance, Joe and I were at SEDCO 2 years ago, and there was a gentleman who was espousing his CW skills, and he would never, ever sit behind a keyboard to work somebody. And I said, so Bouvet's coming up, and if on the way there, that whole thing of equipment falls in the ocean and the only thing they can work is FT8. Are you not going to work them? I couldn't get him to answer me. He simply argued about how that was not even a practical thought that that was going to happen. So in that argument, he gave me his answer, right? So
Very true. Very
well,
true.
Listen, I appreciate getting together. This was a lot of fun, and I've got to get my the 160 antenna loaded up. It never occurred to me to use that, and of course, I work with Joe enough pretty much every week. You know, we get started, and he'll say, "What's on the agenda tonight?" And are you on 60 yet? And I can't get so this will be one less thing for us to disagree about. I'll have to try that on the air. So y'all have certainly done that.
I enjoyed listening to all of you guys and discussing the band. It's a very interesting band and very interesting topic. Thanks for having me. I'm pleased to have been here.
Yeah,
Mike and Bill, thanks very much for having us and putting us on tonight. It's been fun.
It has been. It's great fun with good people.
And didn't Mike do an excellent Ed McMahon? I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a pro.
He's a pro. That
headset. Do you sleep with that headset?
Well, no, I have a smaller, lighter one. So
I see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I haven't learned how to use JT Alert, so I have 14025 going all the time. So
you've got a long cord going to the rig, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's just the room right behind me here is the bedroom. It's not that far.
Okay. Well, good. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. If I don't talk to you, have a great Christmas. And
likewise.
Again, I really appreciate you doing this. It imposes on your personal time, and I don't take that lightly. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Let's pause so we can hear from a DX club that is one of our sponsors.
DXing is even more enjoyable when you make connections with other DXers. A major sponsor of this podcast is the Southwest Ohio DX Association, or SWODEXA. SWODEXA is best known for hosting the DX Dinner and DX Forum, as well as the DXpedition of the Year Award. All these DX events are held annually in conjunction with Hamvention and are among the most well-attended and notable DX events of the year. Joining SWODEXA will give you access to a great group of DXers, an informative newsletter, preferred seating at the DX Dinner and the DX Forum, and you will be supporting DXpeditions to the top 50 needed DXCC entities. Check us out at www.swodxa.com and click on the Membership Info tab for more information and a registration form.
Did you learn something new? I certainly did. I really enjoyed that. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the DX Mentor Podcast. I would certainly like to thank our sponsors, ICOM America, The Daily DX, DX Engineering, and the Southwest Ohio DX Association. You won't find anyone more committed to DX than these sponsors. I would especially like to thank our gurus on this podcast, Joe, WAGEX, Mike, W0VTT, and Don, K8MFO. I would love to have your feedback, answer your questions, and provide help with any DX or amateur radio issues that you may have. If you need clarification on something or you just have a question, email me at thedxmentor@gmail.com. Please drop me a line if you've achieved an all-time new one, received recognition, maybe you've achieved a new level like 200 or 300 confirmed, or you have a DX event that you would like us to mention. I would be happy to do that. 7-3 for this episode, and thanks to my XYL Karen for her love and support.